Coming to you live from the JRE Tobacco Aladino Mobile Studios, it's the Cigar Pulpit.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another sermon from the Cigar Pulpit. I'm the Bishop of Burton Nick, and with me today from his under progress, but coming together nicely sunroom in New Hampshire is Mr. Jonathan. How you doing?
You can hear the crowd going wild from outside.
They're just crazy.
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm all right. You know,
just got back from a tax appointment.
Yes. Actually, okay. I have a story. I have a couple stories related to that, but I want a cigar first. So let's just go ahead and jump right into that. And then we'll get into how Facebook decided to restrict me for a month and, you know, just all the other bullshit that I've got going on related to that tax appointment. So you and I are both smoking the Olmec by Foundation. Look at you. Even have the box and everything. So you have a 6x52 Toro. I have the 7x54 double Corona, because that's just how I roll.
That's a beefy stick.
You know, it's nice. It's a nice box press featuring a Mexican San Andreas wrapper. And then this is where I'm getting a little... they're saying that the Nicaraguan filler tobaccos are from Esteli and Jalapa. But otherwise, that's kind of the description of the cigar, according to the Foundation website. So we'll go from there.
Let me just save everybody a lot of work.
Yeah.
This tastes exactly like Padron Exclusivo Natural from mid-2000s.
Perfect. Sounds good to me. We need to talk Padron while we're on here, because I have questions.
All right.
I have questions about what's going on with Padron up there at Two Guys. But first, it's time to cut the cigar, and the official cutting is brought to you by Dan the Man Ponder over there at Riverman Cigar Company of Crestwood, Missouri. And Dan the Man Ponder, he's got Padron. He's got all kinds of great cigars. And it's that time of year that all the PCA stuff starts rolling in, so you're going to want to swing by there and see what kind of new stuff is coming in. And, you know, say hi to Miss Cindy and Little John and just kind of have a good time. It's a nice time. I know Dan's been there a lot with the basketball tournament going on, so, you know, you'll be able to catch him there and everything. So swing on by, say hi, enjoy his cigar. It's a wonderful time. And if you're not in the St. Louis area, he does do mail order, so you can still support a brick-and-mortar shop, even if you're not close to one. It's Riverman Cigar Company of Crestwood, Missouri. And with that, it's time to go ahead and cut the cigar. So, Padron. I was shocked to hear Dave ordered the Padron. Let me back up. I was shocked to hear that he ordered it without knowing what the price was. I was not shocked that he ordered it.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous that he ordered it without knowing the price. But
I mean, you know it's going to sell.
Do we?
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. As long as it's not $178 a stick.
But that's how much the last one was that they came out with.
True.
Do they go higher?
God, I would hope. I mean, there's a lot of like, hype
Something to saying, okay, well, the Padron Fuente collaboration isn't as good because somebody else had their hands in it. So now we're on just Padron, and it's our biggest release ever, and now it's $200.
I mean, if anybody's going to turn around and sell, do we know how many he ordered?
Yes. It starts with metric, and it ends with shit ton.
Well, if anybody's going to be able to at least make a good attempt at trying to sell that, it's going to be...
triple digits.
It's going to be you guys. So, you know, at least you've got that going for you.
Yeah.
It may not sell quickly. I mean, I think it would sell quicker than the Cigar Authority Lancero.
Well, I hope so. But I honestly know I have two boxes sold. I have two people. It doesn't matter what the price is. They're taking it. And they're also probably the number one and number two Padron customers in the country.
Well, okay.
They happen to shop at Two Guys, but I mean, the money's not going to be a problem. So if they're $100 or $200 a cigar, I know I have two sold.
Well, two sold, as many as 997 to go.
It's not that high. Triple it's not that high.
Well, you didn't specify.
He's got balls, but he's got balls. Not that high. Not that big.
I will admit.
That would be stupid. 1,000 of them would be stupid without knowing the price. Well, he went a little tiny bit into ludicrous, but not stupid.
Well, in all fairness, Ed Santa Maria went with him. Right? They agreed on it.
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of. Okay. I just kind of...
This was an owner's call because of the fact that the price wasn't known.
Oh.
If the price was known, then there's some negotiation and there's some reports you can run. This was a, all right. And actually, Dave, he didn't say it on the show, but I believe what he did was he just took Ed out of it. So it's not Ed's fault at all.
There you go.
Whatever happens. And he did the right thing and just said, okay, I'm writing this one.
I mean, again, I think if you're going to roll the dice on anybody, you know, there is close to a safe bet as you're going to get.
Yeah, it's just the unknown quantity of the price. That's the part that scares me.
Well, everybody better be buying those New England Cigar Expo tickets as soon as they go on sale, because Dave might need a nice influx of cash. So
he might.
Anyway, listen,
if it's ridiculous, listen, this man has mortgaged his house more than once.
He'll make it work.
To buy cigars, and back when he sold cigarettes and there was some tax going in on cigarettes, he mortgaged his house and bought cigarettes. I mean, he's rolling with a giant brass set and is willing to gamble on himself every time. Well, so
good. I mean,
it's awesome to work for him.
If you're going to gamble on anybody, you know, gamble on yourself. So
for sure.
That's good. Okay. I had to give some shit. I heard that. I was driving and I'm listening to this in the car and I'm literally just driving down the highway screaming in my car like, he didn't. And then
that was my real reaction. That was legit my first time hearing it. Most things he and I talk about ad nauseum before we get to the show. And I try my best. If it's something that I'm supposed to be surprised about, I'll just act surprised. But that was the first time I heard it. And I wanted to just give him shit about not having told me yet that happened. I think he needed the safety of the show, so I couldn't really blow my top.
Gotcha. Well, that's true. You can't go completely nuts when everybody's going to hear it. Although that would have made for entertaining podcasting.
It would.
So, well, and speaking of podcasting, you guys just celebrated your anniversary. By the time this airs, it will be, last weekend. It was just this past weekend. Yeah.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I have no idea when this is going to air. So
tomorrow. So, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 14 years and coming up on 1,000 episodes shortly.
It's crazy.
Never missed one. Each of us has missed some, but the others always
step it
up.
The show has gone on.
The show has gone on.
Yeah.
No greatest hits.
Yeah, I fell. I had to fall into that a few times.
I'm not saying that to break your balls. I'm just saying.
I also do two a week, so, you know. Although, you guys started doing that with the after show.
Yes. Yeah.
So, that's
cool. Have you been doing two a week since before we did the after show?
I started two a week in, I feel like, October or November of 2019. And I launched in August of 2019. So, I don't remember. I'm coming up on 500 either. Episodes. I know that much. But I also, in and amongst those 500, I do have a few, you know, rewind episodes. So
greatest hits, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's okay. No, it's impressive because, I mean, yeah, you know the stats. I know Ed's talked about it before that, you know, there's so many podcasts that don't make it past their 13th episode. Some don't even make it past their first couple, much less go 14 years. And by the way, I have your back on the whole 15th year, now in our 15th year thing, because it's just like with me with publishing. When I put out my first issue, it's volume one, issue one, okay? At the end of my first year, it becomes volume two. So it the number designates what year of printing I'm in, not correct, how many years I've been around. So at the end of April, I will be putting volume 10 on my newspaper as I'm entering my 10th year of printing, but I can't celebrate my 10th anniversary until a year from the end of this month.
So this has been a running joke between Ed Sullivan and I, and we've included Dave in the joke because he is the butt of the joke. He said on year, I think it was year 10, he said, he wrote the copy and the copy said, now in our 11th year. And I said, no, it's 10. We're celebrating our 10. And he goes, but we're starting our 11th year. So I put 11th year. And I said, okay. And I just acquiesced and did what he said. Yeah. And that doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
So I just did what he said. The next year, I remembered to change the number and said, now in our 12th year. And he stopped me and he said, no, it's 11. And he argued with me on the air about the number and the concept that he created.
Yeah.
And Ed Sullivan and I just kind of winked at each other. And then it's been that running joke ever since.
Ever since. Okay. No,
and we got some gold on this last episode with the 14th anniversary show. Because this cat, Luke, who's won a couple of times in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
And I get shit every time I put him through, but he writes the best emails. And if you're writing the best emails, you get the prize. I don't care how many times you win.
Exactly.
So he writes this email and he calls everybody in the chat room douches. Now, unbeknownst to us on the panel, the chat room is talking and they realize there's a dude named Luke in the chat room.
Uh-oh.
And they go, oh, I hope you're not the Luke that just wrote that letter. And he's like, motherfucker, you know I am. Like, owned it.
Hey, you know, good for him.
Now we call the douches in the chat room the dicks, the D-I-C's.
Okay.
Which Dave is trying his hardest, because his mother listens to the show, to never say the word douche. So he's coming up with other words that start with the letter D, and he's going to try not to say douche, not to hear his mom yell at him for saying douche.
So funny. That's so funny. So that also explains the whole boner issue. Because I've been wondering why he had such a like distinct problem with that, other than the fact that I know he wanted this to be a very legitimate panel and have a legitimate acronym to it. But now I understand the like visceral reaction that he seems to have against calling it the boners.
Yeah, his mom's not a fan. Not a fan at all.
Oh man. I get it though. My dad listens to the show, so I always, you know, so it's one of those things. You don't want to ever go too far. Of course, I don't think that's really stopped me all that much. But
yeah, it's like what's that movie there where Robert Downey Jr. did blackface?
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder. Yeah, yeah. You never go full retard
because
your dad's listening.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, I was just talking to somebody the other day about that and how everybody thought he would get in trouble for going blackface, but it was really Ben Stiller who got in trouble for going full retard. What are you going to do? So,
well, and honestly, that movie, the reason why he never got in trouble for going blackface is that the movie itself was making fun of the movie industry
doing that
and how they, not just that they're doing blackface, but the movie industry. I just read an article on this. The movie industry is all about getting the accolades and getting the Oscars and all this stuff. And this movie was about making fun of the actors always talking about their process and how he changed the pigment of his skin permanently. And, you know, he was speaking in a very tongue-in-cheek, in quotes, black voice.
Dialect, yeah. You know,
very cartoonish, over the top as part of his process. And actually having that argument with another black man who's like, no, what do you mean, you people? It was friggin' everything about that movie was brilliant.
And probably the best role that Tom Cruise has been in.
Honestly, the first time I saw it, I had no idea it was Tom Cruise. I heard about it on the radio that the next Monday. I saw it on a Saturday. I heard about it on Monday that it was Tom Cruise. I had to go back to the movie theater and watch it to see that it was Tom Cruise.
Hey, by the way, did you see my post the other day? You were totally invited. I know you're too far away, but I went and saw The Godfather in the theater.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, you could have come along. It was a fairly full show.
I could have gone.
Yeah.
I'll never see it.
It's such a good movie, dude.
I'm sure it is. But you know what? There's a lot of great things that I'm not going to do. Some I don't know about, some I do know about. And that's just one that I can't watch.
But why?
Because I said I wouldn't.
So it's all just because of that?
That's it.
What about Godfather 2?
Nope. Said I wouldn't watch that either.
So all the Godfather.
I never said I wouldn't watch Godfather 3.
But that's the one I'm telling you not
to
watch.
That's the worst one.
Yeah,
right.
No, so, that's the one not to watch.
I think I just have to be out.
Okay. All right. Well, you're missing
all
it.
All right. We got to talk.
That's okay.
We got to talk about your taxes and the benefits.
So, yeah.
Of being in the cigar business and being able to expense your
That was nice.
Cigars.
I met with my bookkeeper today, and she handles both the newspaper and the podcast. And it's one of those things, you know, there's expenses that come into this. And so last year she and I were talking, and I didn't have all my ducks in a row last year because I didn't know this was a benefit to it. And she told me, she goes, save your receipts. You can expense your cigars because it's research and development. And so I did this year. And boy, she's got the total. I'll have the total at the end of the week whenever I get my paperwork from her and everything. But there were a lot of numbers on the calculator there that went by. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I need to know that. But it helped me on my taxes. So I guess it's a great. Good thing.
So anybody that owns their own business, if they're saving their receipts, and especially you're buying boxes of cigars, if you have clients that you wine and dine, you have clients that you can give gifts to. And I'm not telling you a way of cheating on your taxes. It's not cheating.
No.
And believe me, the government is going to find a way to take as much money from you as possible.
Oh, they
do.
So
if you can find a way to give them less, I say give them less.
100%.
So the cigars I've for my DJ business, for I was doing the DJ business for 11 years before I was in the podcast world and had another reason to write them off. But the gifts thing is the easiest way. Every bottle of scotch I've ever bought and every box of cigars I've ever bought, gifts.
So I know a guy who has a newspaper. Well, he had one. He ended up selling it, so he's not in business anymore. So I can say this story. He had a newspaper, and what he would do is he would buy shit tons of cigars. I don't know if he was getting like them in bulk or what he was doing, but he was buying like a bunch of cigars, and he was banding them with bands that he made with his newspaper logo on it, and he was calling them his marketing materials, and he was just giving them out. And but he was also smoking them for himself, so on his taxes they were that. But you know, whatever. So it's genius.
Awesome.
It's the stuff. It's the little things like that. It's just I didn't know that. And it also helps that my bookkeeper's a cigar smoker. I learned that last year. We're sitting there going over all of everything, and she's asking me, what's this, what's this, what's this? And then she asked me, what's your favorite cigar? And I'm thinking, okay, she's being polite. She's making conversation. And so I give a standard answer. Oh, I smoke a lot of different things, blah, 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 and all that. And then she's like, I really like the Monte Cristo, blah. And I'm like, whoa, back up a second. And so, yeah.
Any chance she's hot?
She's all right. It's all right. Married, but all right.
All right. Rings don't block holes.
You know what? That's a good answer right there. Rings don't block holes. I've heard like, you know, the response of happily, you know, but that's
no.
A good, okay.
No, you can't fuck around with married women. It's bad karma.
So last year, actually, when I went to go, you know, have my final tax meeting with her, I brought her some Aladinos to, you know, kind of soften the blow. It didn't, but I thought it might, but it didn't. So
I get so bothered by the fact that people don't take the time to research cigars beyond legacy brands. So you started to say Monte Cristo. Whatever. Monte Cristo 1935 is a decent
cigar. It's a good
one. It's delicious.
Yeah.
But it's way overpriced for what it is.
Of course.
Because it says Monte Cristo on it. If it said any other brand, and I know for a fact that it exists as another brand for $9 in a non-tax state. I know for a fact. I've smoked them side by side. It tastes the same.
I need to know that answer before we're off the call, but that's neither here nor there.
It's the same cigar.
Yeah.
So one says Monte Cristo and you're paying $17, and the other one says something else and you're paying $9.50.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of those legacy brands that are charging just because it's the name and they've got $1 million ad budget and Cigar Aficionado, which is the biggest pay-to-play racket that there is on the planet.
I know. I still have to sit down and crunch all those numbers and that. I need to do that. But I have those mail reports. Every time I get that December issue, I squirrel it away because that's the one that's got the mail reports in it. So one of these days I'll get to it.
I want to be on that show.
Oh, I know. I know. Maybe that's something I could put together and bring up. You know, when I come to see you guys in September, maybe that's a good plan.
That'd be awesome.
We could do that one right there. That way everybody's got the data right there in front of them. So
I wonder if we could give you the video and you could edit the video where we intentionally don't talk over the bumper. And then you can splice your intro in and have your episode of the Cigar Authority be also on your podcast.
That would be funny.
I got to talk to Ed about
that. We could make some things work. Anyway, but yeah, no, I've got that information sitting there. But where were we talking about? Oh, you were talking legacy brands. Yeah, I know. I mean, look, I don't judge somebody because they don't like branch out too far. You know, they stick with what they know. But I try to introduce them to new things to show them, hey, there's other better stuff out there that A, costs less, and B, just is, you know, it's better. Like I said, I brought her a nice little Aladino selection. I got her the Connecticut, the regular Corojo, and a Maduro. And it's like, here's a little trifecta for you to try. So, and then she asked for more cigars today, but I didn't have any, which then resulted in my tax bill. So, I know. I had some in the car, and I told her that. I said, I got my travel thing in the car. And she goes, no. So I'm like, shit, I didn't have the actual gift. You know, that was my fault.
Fucked up.
I know. Well, I was distracted by the guys ripping out the other half of my duplex as I was leaving, you know. The lady next door to me, she moved out, and so I woke up this morning at 7:30 to demo work just on the other side of the wall.
I think the reality is that she realized at that moment how not hot she really is to you. So, because if she was a smoke show,
that's
cigars
true.
Would have made it.
I would have done everything it took to
you would
to
have brought the humidor in and said, take whatever you want.
Well, you know, she was already a little... She definitely wasn't thrilled with me when I dropped the big envelope of receipts on her desk and said, these are all my receipts. And I didn't know how they needed to be, so I didn't add them up, you know, so we had to add them all up right there. And boy, thermal paper, any shop out there using thermal receipt paper, man, get some better paper. Cause like I had at least two receipts that I had to throw away
because
I couldn't read them.
It fades. Yeah.
So that sucked. But
my accountant spanked me 1 year, and I do my own taxes now, but my accountant spanked me 1 year when I dropped off the receipts and my normal $250 bill was $500.
Oh my
God.
And
I'm like, what happened? She said, you spent a lot. And I go, what does that have to do with anything? She goes, it took me four times longer to punch in all the numbers, and I work by the hour. I was like, all right, fair enough. So every year after that, I would just make my own spreadsheet, and I'd make my own categories. This is music. This is equipment, blah, 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 and lay it out there, and she could do with it whatever she wanted. If she wanted to reorganize it, yeah, change the names, whatever, she could do it. Now I do my own, and my DJ business is basically gone, or mostly cash. And I math on the standard deduction, and I did the math on the interest amortization, blah, 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 on your house. And it was $2,000 more if I took the standard deduction, so I just took it.
You know, and that's the thing. I'd love to get back to the point in my life when I could just very simply do my own taxes. I don't see that anytime soon, but it'd be nice, you know?
You can. And listen, the first year I did my own taxes, I included my DJ business. It was still kind of up and running. I had some checks that had come in, and I just read the tax code. So as you're filling it out on the IRS, is it's like freetaxes.com or whatever that they – that's the IRS's website with all the forms.
Yeah.
And it just says if you're going to do itemized deductions, this form, and you click on the form and it pops up. And everything's populated and everything does the math once you get it entered in. It's very easy. Huh. The accountants are ripping us off.
Yeah. Today cost me $275. To basically
you
be,
got a deal.
To be told
you
that,
got a deal.
You know, I owe like $8,700. So, you know, that's you know, awesome. I know. I'm going to be spending this week.
I'm getting $600 back, which means that I did the right thing all year long.
You did.
And they only got an extra $600.
It's true. It's
true. $50 a month.
That's not too bad. That's like a tank of gas these days. Maybe.
It's definitely an oil tank.
You have a smaller car than I do, so yeah, it probably. I don't know how much a gas tank of gas costs you.
I'm trying to buy a truck right now. Very hard.
Mm. Dude, that's not cheap these days. All of the vehicles went up over COVID, and trucks definitely went up.
I want a regular bench seat cab.
You know, I wish bench seats were back because I'll tell you what, all not to get super personal or weird or anything, but like, damn it, it's hard to make out with a chick in the car if you've got a damn center console and gear shift and everything.
That's what everybody was thinking about when you said bring back bench seats, I'm sure.
That's what I was thinking about. I've actually lamented that a couple different times.
You're a goddamn liar.
No, I swear to God, that's exactly it.
What you were thinking and what everyone is thinking rhymes with roadhead.
I mean, okay. I don't know. I get distracted a little easily. I might end up going off the road pretty quickly at that point.
Not I.
Okay. Well, I've got better country highways out here, though, than you do. So a little less traffic, so... As I recall, your area, there's all kinds of traffic everywhere.
Well, when you're up in the fall, there's a lot of leaf peepers going up. So the highways are filled up with everyone coming from Massachusetts.
Gotcha. So what truck are you looking at?
I want either a small Toyota or a small Nissan. And I would take the Honda Ridgeline.
Okay.
If I found one for a good deal. I had a Honda Element, which was my favorite car of all time. Favorite.
Yeah.
It had plenty of pickup. It had plenty of storage space.
That's a little box drive. One, right?
Yeah. It looks like a toaster on wheels.
Yeah.
That was the best. I got 360,000 miles out of that before it finally, I got $2,100 as a gift from the dealership when I bought the Mini Cooper that I have now. If it wasn't, I should have spent the $2,000 to just fix the couple of things and kept that vehicle.
Yeah. You don't want to get another one of those?
They all have high miles at this point. Oh. I mean, they stopped making them right then.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
I would go Ridgeline, which is a very similar platform.
Okay.
And plastic everywhere, plastic on the undercarriage, plastic in the back. That's what I would do.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what I would get to replace. I have a Pathfinder now, and I don't know what I would get to replace that. if I needed to.
Pathfinder is Nissan?
Yeah, Nissan.
Yeah.
It's and great. It's nice.
Nissan and Toyota as platforms are phenomenal. They have the best ratings across the board for vehicles.
I love mine. I mean, it's been a workhorse, and don't get me wrong, I've put it through the paces. I mean, it's at like 184,000 miles right now, and it's a 2019, so it's not super old, but it's definitely up there in mileage. But it's working out well for me so far. But
It's a grapefruit. I'm trying not to sneeze. Hang on.
Oh, okay. Bless you. So the other thing that happened as a result of my tax meeting is Facebook has dinged me pretty hard.
That's not as a result of your tax meeting. Well, that's a result of you posting something very funny.
I did. So I posted a meme that said the times are tough. So once again, I'll be selling my nudes, $5 to get one, $25 not to get one. That's all I put up, right? Well, Facebook apparently removed my post.
Can I give you $25 for five?
Oh, yeah. I mean, either way.
All right.
Yeah. Facebook removed my post very quickly. And it says, you're seeing this because we removed one of your posts that related to encouraging sexual activities. They then said another thing telling me they've added restrictions to my account. So for a month, I cannot create ads, I cannot create live videos, and I cannot start or join calls. So I assume I can't call anybody through the Messenger app. Not that I ever did, but still. Now, I appealed, and I said, this is a joke. It's obviously a joke. Just read it. You've misunderstood it. And they came back and said, nope, your appeal is denied, and this is the way it is. So, you know.
But there's pages out there that have cartoon nudity. And that's allowed.
Dude, it's not even cartoon nudity. So on Instagram, I'm noticing that in the reels, you're finding these OnlyFans models that have baby dolls. And they whip out a breast and just stick the baby doll on the boob. And then they whip out the other boob because apparently when you're breastfeeding, you have to have both of them out. But, you know, they do this and because it's breastfeeding, it's totally okay. And they're all over the place. So they figured out a way to get around Facebook and the free the nipple thing.
Now, where are we on the camel toe situation? Because that's a little bit of a fetish of mine.
You know what?
When both boobs are out, do they also show the nether regions?
Funny you say that. I don't have the screenshot anymore, but I was scrolling through one of the dating sites the other day, and I'll hide her name, but she was very proud of that, and
I
focusing on faces anyway. I question. I mean, it's a bold move putting that out there like that. That's all I'm saying. It's a bold move to be doing that. So, yeah. It's there. It's out there. You got to find it. But, look, all the OnlyFans models that are using Instagram and Facebook for all their shit. But, yeah, I get dinged because I'm saying that it's $5 for a nudie pic or $25 not to get one.
I wonder if you could make the argument to them that they are being discriminatory because you're of a larger size.
I was going to say because I'm a dude, but thanks for making it a fat thing.
I just was saying big bones. You know, just maybe they have a problem with big boned individuals.
They could. Zuckerberg's a little dude, so maybe he doesn't like the big guys.
Oh,
portly men of size.
Black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
It's true.
And he won't fight Elon Musk because he's a pussy.
I was going to say, I really was looking forward to that fight. I thought that would have been really funny. But, you know, whatever. We won't get into all that. But
nothing better than just a billionaire like Elon who does not give a fuck and does whatever he thinks is right.
Because he totally would have fought him.
Time, Most of the time, I agree with him. Yeah. Not always, but most of the time, I agree with him.
Yeah, it's not all the time. You're never going to agree with anybody 100%.
He's a little bit more liberal than I care for, but because he's like two clicks left of center. And I'm like, I can align with up to one click left or right of center.
Uh-huh.
I'm good in that area.
Right in that little.
But when you get outside
the
pocket.
You're in the political taint. You're in the political taint.
Exactly.
There you go. I gotcha. Okay. You don't want it. Yeah, that's good. Okay. So what else has been going on, man? I'm in a punchy mood today. I don't know what's going on anymore. So yeah, I'll be spending some time down at the truck stop, making $20 a time to go, you know, paying my tax bill. I got a week.
There's nothing wrong with that. You got to do what you got to do.
Dude, $20 is $20. And hell, these days with inflation, it should be 30.
That's a great selling point that you're giving people an unbelievable bargain.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they can buy their way out of not receiving the bargain, which is, that's really the genius.
Right? I agree. Anyway, I don't know. So, we mentioned the New England Cigar Expo. I want to know. I know you guys are doing the Strongman this year. And I am still devastated and disappointed that I missed the midget wrestling. Because I've wanted to go to that. But the only time they ever have it around here, it's either at the strip club or on a weekend that I have my son. And, you know, I'm just not going to do that. But... I'm disappointed, but
your son would love midget wrestling.
Probably. But I got to watch where I'm taking him. That's my point.
Yeah, yeah. Don't take him to a strip club.
Yeah, no.
Go to a place where they have midget wrestling when you have your son, and great father-son bonding.
So the announcement that I saw was that Mark Henry is going to be at the expo. That'll be
he
big.
Is.
That'll be big. So you get the WWE fans. You get the Strongman fans.
He's also, he fancies himself a stand-up comedian. And
I'm sorry, what? What? Does he really? Yeah,
he fancies himself a stand-up comedian. And I have it on good authority that he's not, I'm going to say he, let's say he's not at the Bill Burr level.
Well, no.
He's not at the Tony V level either.
Okay.
He's not at the Susan Plummer level, who you wouldn't even know who she is because she's just a local opener exclusively Saugus, Massachusetts.
But as long as he shows up on time, he's going to be better than the guy you had last year that didn't.
That's up for debate.
Okay. All right.
Because the guy not showing up yielded us Tony V, who was very funny.
True.
So, okay. That was one of the things that there was a little concern. I'm letting some people in behind the curtain here, but that was one of the things that was a concern was, is he going to push for this stand-up comedy thing?
Is he?
And he didn't.
Okay.
It never came up.
But does he?
It actually never came up.
Is he going to? But he's on commentary for the Strongman competition,
he understands.
Right?
Yeah, he understands and has competed in Strongman, so he knows that world. So he can equate the... If they're doing Atlas Stones or whatever, I know a little bit about it. So if they're doing Atlas Stones, he can do the conversion of kilograms to pounds so that people that are watching can understand what's going on. You know, if it's a refrigerator deadlift, he can explain that that's so many plates, whatever.
Okay.
So he'll be able to get the audience to be on board with the activities that are going on, and then Tony V will be there to do what Tony V does, which is just be funny on call. And maybe Mark Henry has some zingers, but I'll tell you,
possible.
I was on the board for Tony V and Bill Burr. I had my headset on so I could hear what was going on. And if there were 20 funny things that were said, 19 and a half of them were Tony V.
Well,
most people laugh because Bill Burr laughed.
Yeah.
He has a funny laugh. So when he laughed, people laughed. But yeah, Tony V had him cracking up.
Well, not to shit on Bill Burr or anything, but he takes a little bit more setup, it feels like. Like when you're watching his stand-up specials and things of that nature, it's a lot of build-up and setup. It's not a quick, you know, pick him up and knock him down.
He takes a little longer to get there, and whereas Tony V is more of a street comic, and his style of comedy and his whole career has been in smaller venues where you've got to put this guy in the front row in his place right away.
Yeah. Like, and under the spotlight with you.
Yeah. Put him out of his misery. Oh my God, the spotlight. Fucking lady sitting behind me. Oh my God, it's so bright. What the fuck?
I mean, it's funny.
I just couldn't believe that Dave didn't want to sit in the front row. Because,
dude, I'm 100% with him. The last two times I've gone to comedy, I've wanted to sit, like, on the side near the back. I don't want to be anywhere near the front. Come on, take one look at me and tell me that a comedian's not going to just go straight at me.
But here's the thing. When I walked in, I saw the spotlight. I own that spotlight. So I saw the spotlight, and I said, the comedians won't be able to see us because the lighting in the room is going to be dimmed. The spotlight's going to be on them. And they won't be able to see past the front of the stage, which is 100% true with that kind of light. And the guy that owns that light didn't know how to tune the light so that the comedians could do crowd work, because none of the comedians that they had were crowd work guys.
Okay.
So when I walked in and saw the spotlight that they had, I knew that the guy wasn't going to tune it, and it was just going to be bright as fuck, and everybody in the front row was safe.
Just not from the glare from your head.
No, the people behind me, yeah. they were suffering. And if the comedians could have seen, they would have seen my dome glowing and they would have given me a hard time, but they couldn't see past the front of the stage because that spotlight was so bright.
So then what happened? You sat up front and Dave and Ed sat near the back?
Yeah, I got like 8 text messages from the people, Cigar Authority listeners, that are my customers, they're my friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, we text each other all the time, but it was like, bling. There's another picture of my head. Bling. Another angle. Picture of my head. Bling. Yeah, it was awesome.
That's funny. I like it.
I've always been one of those people that I can – certainly I understand the joke and I get it and I laugh because it's fucking funny.
Yeah.
And that's just – I don't know. That's just how you have to live your life.
Nobody can take themselves too seriously.
No.
Shouldn't anyway.
And I was showing – I'm seeing somebody – I don't know. It's going on 2 months now. So I showed her the pictures, and it was like by the 7th picture, she was mildly annoyed. And I'm like, no, it's okay. They're my friends. It's all good.
Well, you know, almost nice. Like she was
ready
to
defend me because I was being bullied. It's like, no, I could eviscerate any one of them if I had to.
That's
but
nice.
I'm not going to because it's funny.
Well, at least she's got your back. That's good. And 2 months, 100%. Man, that's a good time.
It's been interesting because she has a couple kids, and normally I would like more time to go by before I meet the kids, but they were Googling me.
Oh no. So oh no.
They have my YouTube videos, Cigar Authority, they have. So it was like, all right, let's get out ahead of this and get you in front of them right away.
Yeah, that's probably.
Before they find something they shouldn't.
Probably for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're both very athletic, and I'm athletic, and we play everything from ping pong to chess to pickleball to football to baseball, basketball. We've touched all the major sports at this point, and we're just having a good time.
You know, that's a sport that's really taken off around here has been pickleball. And it's, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like a mix of tennis and wiffle ball with some like ping pong mixed into it.
Yeah, you can put some English on the ball for sure. And the paddles are very ping pong paddle-esque with the coatings. So it really is like giant ping pong.
Okay. Okay. Well, it can't involve too much, not to like, you know, denigrate anybody that's playing it, but it can't involve too much physical activity because I've seen nothing but like seniors out here playing the hell out of it.
Yeah, the seniors love it because it is a slower version of tennis. But I would destroy anybody I played on a real pickleball court because I understand how to put English on a ping pong ball, and I can make that ball hit the net every single time.
The competitive streak in Mr. Jonathan comes out. I see how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the I can't not win.
That's
when
fair.
It comes to sports. Although I played her son in basketball, and he was like, "Do you play basketball?" And I said, "I haven't touched a basketball in 10 years." And he goes, "Well, then," and he's being fair, he goes, "I'll give you the ball first." So I drained a three in his eye, and then, which was a totally lucky shot.
Yeah. I just
lobbed it up there, figuring I'm going to get the rebound and do like a in the air alley-oop and sink it. And I drained the three, and he looks back at me and goes, "Haven't touched a basketball in 10 years, huh?" I'm like, "I promise I haven't. I'm not trying to play you.
We're
not
there's no
money on the line." But so we played, and I played him fair as an 11-year-old and kept the score pretty even. And he drained the last shot. And, you know, we played at 21. He drained the last shot fair and square and beat me by a point. It was awesome.
There you go. Okay. Well, fun. Well, why don't we before we do anything else, thoughts on the Olmec?
Is a very classic Nicaraguan profile that is so reminiscent of older Padrones, and this is the flavor profile that put Nicaragua on the map. There's no question. It's a little black pepper. There's a very, very, very hint of like milk chocolate in the background, and the Maduro has more of a dark chocolate kind of taste to it. I'm smoking the natural. Looks like you have the natural as well.
Yeah. I don't think I get quite the earthiness that I sometimes get from Padron.
Well, that's new Padron.
Oh.
You got to remember that 12 years ago, they were not growing their own
before
tobacco.
Before my time.
They were getting tobacco from Aganorsa.
Okay.
So it had a different profile.
Okay.
They took dip when they...
Old Padron then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
12 years ago.
So they took a dip in quality while they learned the pre-industry portion of it. They always had to do pre-industry on the wrapper because although they say it's Nicaraguan Puro, those in the know that it's a Mexican San Andreas wrapper. So Mexico does a great job of growing tobacco. They do not do a great job of the pre-industry. So most companies have to work the tobacco when they get it, especially wrapper. So they get that wrapper, they work it, and then they put it on Aganorsa tobacco, and they make this unbelievable cigar. Well, they decided to grow their own tobacco, and they got popular enough. They were making enough money. They could buy their own fincas, and they start growing the tobacco. Well, the pre-industry on filler is not the same as the pre-industry on wrapper per se. So they just kind of had to learn that process. And so they took a couple years of a dip, and then they went back to being very good. But nowadays, everybody, especially Nicaragua, but everybody is rushed. So you get a lot more ammonia. You do get a lot of benefit from a couple of dry box cycles, and you can make those Padrones taste like they should.
Gotcha. So speaking of Mexican cigars, just for a moment, have you tried the new Te Amo?
Yeah.
Do I want to ask thoughts?
Same as old Te Amo.
Oh, okay.
Not good.
Okay. I have one inside. I haven't smoked it yet. So my question there, and
you should smoke it. You should definitely smoke
it
because
going to.
When you smoke it, it's all Mexican. So you're going to dial in on that flavor. And then right after that, smoke a Padron. And you'll get a hint of that flavor. And then you will know what everybody knows behind the scenes in the industry, that they're using Mexican tobacco as a wrapper.
My dad really likes that, or he liked that cigar before because for him, he said it was always a great golf course cigar. It was very inexpensive and you could set it down, you could do your shot, whatever. And it always stayed lit to where he never had to relight it and everything. But
a lot of mid to low primings on the blend, so that is going to give you better combustion. Not a lot of high priming. It's not a strong cigar.
Yeah.
It is flavor. It has flavor. It's not a flavor I like, but it has flavor.
Gotcha.
So if you haven't smoked a lot of cigars and you're that was the legacy brand in its day. So if that's what you're smoking and you're looking for a cigar with more flavor, it certainly has more flavor.
So
for me, it's not a great flavor, but it is full flavored for sure.
So you guys are you guys selling it at Two Guys there?
All right, yeah, we have it.
Let me ask a question then. So it's my understanding that back when it was a bigger brand before, that it was a, now granted, everything cost less back then, but part of the appeal was the price on it and that it was a more affordable, you know, kind of, I don't want to say budget cigar, but kind of a budget cigar, you know, and whatever else.
When a higher end cigar was $5 and Tiamo was $4.
Yeah.
Then it's budget friendly. Mm-hmm. So now a higher end cigar is $12 to $14
and
that one's coming in at $10. So it's still very budget friendly. It's doing exactly today what it did back in the day.
True. I guess my question is, are you finding that guys that smoked it back then for $5 or $4 or whatever are sitting back on like, oh my gosh, it's double the price?
They're all dead.
Oh, well,
except for your dad.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. All right. Well, moving on. Let's do this now. It's time for the Villiger Cigars Entertainment Report, brought to you by
Villiger.
Villiger Cigars, one of the leading cigar and cigarillo manufacturers in the world, founded in 1888 and still family-owned and operated. Head over to VilligerCigars.com and check the store locator to find a shop near you that carries them. We guarantee that Villiger Cigars will be a wonderful addition to your humidor and cigar rotation. So here's my issue. Ed Sullivan was very nice one day to give me some technical advice as to how I can fix the whole, like, you know, having to go video only thing. And, I bought a few cords. And the problem is I've got one cord connected to another thing, connected to the dongle, connected to my phone. And so there's a lot of connections there, and apparently one of them was kind of weak because that came in rather poorly. But anyway, it's time for the Villiger Cigars Entertainment
Report. You can fix that in post.
I'll do something with it, maybe. Maybe. So, Villiger Cigars Entertainment Report. What have you been watching? Anything?
Yeah, I've been watching the show on it. They have them, almost all of them, on YouTube. It's called Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn.
Okay.
So this was a time in the late 90s, early 2000s, where comedians could be on either side of the aisle and break each other's balls mercilessly and be able to talk politics and not hate each other. And even if it was their guy and he did or said something stupid, rip on the guy.
For sure.
I'm enamored with the show. I watch at least an episode a night as I'm getting ready to fall asleep. It's the best show ever.
Okay. Okay. I think you talked about that the last time, so I guess you're still working.
Did I?
I think so.
Oh,
but so you're still working your way through. I mean, it happens, you know. I found myself this weekend going into a relatively dark rabbit hole. I finally started watching that documentary series. It's on HBO, but it's put out by Investigation Discovery, called Quiet on the Set. It's like the dark side of kids' TV or something like that. So it's all the behind the scenes of Nickelodeon, the Nickelodeon like shows from the mid to late 90s and into the early 2000s. And son of a bitch, man. That was just like this, like, pedophile wet dream. I mean, they had multiple guys get caught, you know, as pedophiles working on these shows. One of them, you know, I just got done watching an episode where a kid, and again, I wasn't really watching Nickelodeon at that time anymore. So I don't really know a lot of these actors and kids, but, I guess this kid was maybe in his like early to mid teens, and he's like headline, like the co-star of one of their big shows, and he's just getting totally sexually assaulted by his you know, what coach? It's his acting coach slash dialogue coach, and his mom is like letting him stay over at this guy's house because, oh, you know, I live here and he's got a thing here the next day. So why should I bring him all the way back to you just to have to come back up and blah, blah, blah. And it was ludicrous. And so like, it's so messed up. Cause it's like, who do you put the blame on here? Do you put the blame on the people that did it? Do you put some of the blame on the parents at this point too? I mean, there's one mom, unfortunately, you know, she's sitting there crying on the camera talking about how her daughter, who was maybe 11 or 12, got a picture from this like producer where he's you know, masturbating and he says that in, you know, in the email, like, I'm thinking of you and that sort of thing. And she's like, do I go to the cops? Because if I go to the cops, she'll never get an acting role anymore and blah, 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 and all that. And I'm thinking, why would you want your kid in that anyway? Just go to the freaking cops, you know? So
just go to the guy's house and cut his dick off.
And then there's that option, too, because I have no tolerance for people messing with children. So it's been super dark, man. Super dark.
Oh, there'd be some smoke in the motherfucking city.
Yeah. Right.
I have a friend that's having an issue with his daughter and with a boyfriend, and there's kids involved and there's stuff going on.
Uh-oh.
And it's everything that I have in my willpower not to just punch this dude out. It's everything I have.
Yeah.
If it was my kid, I would punch this dude out. It would be game over. Game over. No cameras. There's no witnesses. There's no nothing.
That's how shit's
done.
Let's
go in a rope together.
That's how shit should be done. I was talking with a guy. I went to a cigar lounge last week, and I was talking with a guy. And somehow or another, we got on the subject of Cardinal pitcher Danny Cox. He was from the 80s. And it's a long story how we got there. But he was reminded. He said, the story about Danny Cox I always remember is the Cardinals are in the pennant race. So this is definitely early to mid-80s, right? And he had found out that I guess his brother-in-law was did hit his sister. So he gets done playing in St. Louis, hops a plane from St. Louis to Atlanta, goes to the house, boom, boom, boom on the door, guy opens the door, and he just, two punches, just drops him to the ground, says, don't ever touch my sister. Turns around, gets back on a plane, flies back to St. Louis, and plays the game. So it's like, I mean, like, real quick turnaround, and nothing happened. No charges, no, I'm going to sue you or anything like that. It's like,
but that is a legitimate risk that he took.
It is.
Because if you got money, you got to protect your assets. So there's, and listen, it's 2024, and if you just get somebody that's good enough at spinning the friggin' the thing, but I'm personally just ready to plead insanity. I'm ready to do it. I saw red. I have no memory of anything, and it just happened. And I'd like to write an apology letter to the person that I fucked up for fucking with my daughter, and I'll do that. But I don't. Fortunately, I don't have anything. So they could take it all.
There you go.
The bank owns my house.
Well, and depending upon where you're, you know, tried and prosecuted and everything, I mean, you might be able to get off just because the jury finds that you should have been allowed to fuck that guy up, you know? So, I mean,
maybe.
I'm just saying, I've heard stories about guys down in Texas.
I also saw the new Roadhouse with
really?
Bad guy. And I will say that if you're watching action movies for the plot,
well,
then you're not watching them for the right reasons.
I mean, the first Roadhouse plot was pretty thin, too.
Action movies are like porn. You're watching them for a certain reason, and things do not need to make sense.
This is true.
They don't. So you go into it, and you just know there's going to be action, and the movie does not disappoint. If you're looking for a plot, if you're looking for things to make sense, if you're looking for the loose ends to be tied, they're not.
Okay.
Because that's not why the movie was made. It's an action movie, and Jake Gyllenhaal killed it. Conor McGregor killed it, and it was a great action movie. It was not even a good movie, but it was a great action movie.
Okay, okay.
Like Under Siege. He's a chef. Get the fuck out of here. There's a thousand things wrong with that movie. But that's not why you're watching it. You're watching it for Steven Seagal to fuck up people and for Tommy Lee Jones to be one of the most badass bad guys in the history of bad guys.
And there's boobs in that movie.
There's who was that? That was
I was going to say
Baywatch, right?
I can't remember. She came out of the cake or whatever, wasn't she? Didn't she come out of the cake? Yeah.
So. It was Pamela Anderson, and when Pamela Anderson left Baywatch, that chick came into Baywatch.
Okay.
I think. She's spectacular. But yeah, you're not watching Under Siege because the plot keeps you held for the movie. No, it's action all the time. There's just enough plot so that you can stomach when there's no action.
Well, dude, it's kind of like this Fall Guy movie that's coming out here at some point.
I can't wait.
I've seen the trailer for it. I'll probably wait for streaming, but I'm going to watch it because as dumb as it kind of looks, yeah, it looks like there's going to be some really great action set pieces.
Dude, Fall Guy was the stupidest TV show ever, and I've seen every episode as an adult. That was on when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching reruns when I was a teenager. On whatever the equivalent of MeTV is, but
yeah,
I cannot wait for that movie. It's going to be complete nonsense and stupid, but the action's going
to
be great.
You know, there was one that I was this close to seeing last night. There was only one showing of it. It was at 9 o'clock. There was nobody in there because it's, I think, getting ready to go to Shudder, but it's called like Late Night with the Devil. And It's this like late night talk show that's kind of competing with like Carson and all this, and it's set in the '70s, and but this guy he gets a girl on there that's supposedly possessed by a demon, and she really is, and so then it kind of goes from there, and apparently the ending of it is just like crazy, absolute crazy, and for whatever reason it intrigues me. I'm not normally into horror movies at all. But this one kind of intrigued me, and I'm like, you know, but I ended up not doing it because I didn't really feel like being at the movie theater at 9 o'clock, getting out at like 11, and I live.
Then it's also dark, and that's scary.
And I'm by myself in my duplex now, you know, it's like, yeah. And I'm 45 minutes away from the theater too, so it's like, I've got a long drive home, and it's like, I'm not going to do that, but whatever, so.
So my final thing, I think you wanted three. So my final thing
whatever.
Is I finally watched the last episode of Letterkenny.
Oh, I just finished that myself recently.
It is the greatest non-sitcom ever. It might rival Seinfeld if you're into that kind of humor.
I love that show. I'll admit,
it's so
some
good.
Of the middle seasons were, I mean, it did do a little
soft.
Bit of a...
Like a soft birthday party.
Yeah, yeah.
Soft.
But they finished strong. I feel like they finished strong. The whole bit with Derry and the D-Gens, you know?
Yeah, they tied it all up. It was great.
It was nice. It was such good. I haven't watched
Started
Shoresy
with fighting,
yet.
And it ended with fighting.
Yes.
I've seen a couple of episodes of Shoresy. Honestly, I think that was... It was a decent character in the show Letterkenny, but as a standalone,
yeah,
I could just watch the shorts and catch all the chirping, which is what you're there
which
for.
Is what exactly, and that's the thing. I don't know if I have the interest for Shoresy, but you're right, Letterkenny man, I love that show. I haven't. They've been doing some like touring like comedy things where they go around like the group of them kind of tour around and everything, and I haven't done one of those. There's been, I think it's come close. I don't know if it's actually come here, but it's come close enough that I could have made the drive, but didn't. You guys should get them to come down for the expo.
One, there's no way I'm going to get Dave to watch more than one episode of Letterkenny, period.
That's true. He may not understand
that's not his style of humor. And I just don't think, I mean, it has a cult following. I don't think there's enough cigar smokers.
You might be surprised.
It's you and I. Let's face it.
I know other people that watch it.
Are they cigar smokers?
At least one of them is.
All right, so we're up to
three. We're up to three. I just figured, you know, if they're coming down, maybe Rudy could catch a ride and, you know, see? They all come from Canada, so.
I
realistically, I want you to bring the gals down because there's every one of the women on Letterkenny's a smoke show.
100% true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially Bonnie McMurray.
Bonnie McMurray. I knew you were going to do that. Although, man, I will say this. Personal opinion. The last couple seasons, I feel like the gal could eat a sandwich. I feel like she looked a little unhealthy there at the last.
She was thin.
Yeah.
She was thin.
But personal opinion.
Katie stayed hot through the whole thing.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. Mm. Anyway. Squirrely Dan had, you know, that's what he likes about her. Yep.
Is that what he likes about her?
That's what he likes about her.
Gonna need you to take about 30% off that.
There you go. I always like to just every once in a while just be like, you know, you're 10-ply, bud. Just because. Why not? Allegedly. All right. Well, now that we've done that, let's do this. Hopefully this sounds okay.
Guess what, motherfucker?
Time for three cigars we smoked and enjoyed this week. And actually, you know what's funny about that is I am super close. And I'll throw this out there if you guys beat me to it, such is life. But he is currently incarcerated in Florida. I don't remember exactly where, but it lists it on his Instagram account. And I think you can do like at least a phone chat. Maybe a video chat, but I think he got his video chat privileges taken away. I think a phone chat for like $5.
Where the fuck are you going with this?
You can get Tiger King as a guest on the show for like $5.
Hard pass.
Oh, I would do that all day long, man. Just for 5 minutes.
When you're done paying your tax bill, if you have $5 left,
it's true.
Go ahead and hire him.
I think that'd be funny as shit. Because he's running for president, apparently. It's like Tiger King 2024.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We got a shock jock up here in New Hampshire. His name's Kelly Brown. He's one of the sidekicks on Greg in the Morning Buzz. And there's a campaign because he has a giant hog. So anytime somebody calls into the show or leaves a message on the iHeartRadio app, they say, Mastodon. 2024. He's got a better shot than Tiger King does.
Oh, I know, but I think it's funny as shit. I personally just want him to record that for me, the, you know, guess what, motherfuckers? And then he could be like, guess what, motherfuckers? It's time for three cigars we smoked and enjoyed this week. If I could just get an actual personalized, like, bumper for that, I'd be thrilled.
That'd I got be a worth, conspiracy that'd for, be worth $5. For Trey Mack, because I know he loves conspiracies.
Oh, yes, he does.
The reason why people run for president, even though they know they're not going to make it, is they can loan their own money to the campaign. And then when they raise money, there is no limit to the amount of interest that they can pay themselves back. Oh. I've read every word of campaign law. Every word. There is nothing in there about how much interest can
so
be
you
paid
could
back.
Loan yourself $100. Charge
Let's
yourself.
Say your name rhymes with Bernie Sanders, and you're worth roughly $2 million on paper, and you hawk everything and loan your campaign $2 million, and then you take a payout from another person that's running for president for an endorsement, and then pay yourself back. $4 million.
My God.
It's legal.
Huh.
Because remember the first time that person ran, on paper, they weren't worth anything.
Yeah.
That's what everybody said. Oh, they don't have any money. It's because they sent all the money into their campaign.
I'll be damned.
And they came out worth double. And then the next time, they doubled again.
Well, damn. You know, and everybody thought Uncle
Bernie. That's my gift to you, Trey Mac.
Everybody thought Uncle Bernie was just this sweet little old man just trying to make us into the Soviet state of the United States. Yeah. And sure enough.
He just happens to be a genius.
I'll be damned.
Milking the system. Doing exactly what everybody who followed him was against. And nobody can read the writing on the wall.
Well, that's an interesting little conspiracy. I like that one. That's good.
Yeah, that's all me, too, because that's just me just
doing some reading,
looking at it and then saying, you know what? I'm going to read this because it's all on the internet. You can read every word of campaign law. You can read it.
Interesting. Yeah. That's, you know what? I think Trey Mack will appreciate that one. I think he will.
He will.
So, okay.
Send me a text.
Three cigars we spoke to enjoyed this week. What's your first one?
So before we did it on the show, I smoked the Toro size. We smoked the Gunner, I believe, on the show of Red Anchor.
Yeah.
But I smoked the Toro size. And so what matters to me sometimes as a cigar salesman, if you don't mind me geeking out on my trade a little bit.
Feel free.
Is if I smoke a cigar and that day I sell a box of that cigar. That to me is the magic of cigar sales. I didn't coerce anyone into it. It's not like that at all.
Yeah.
But I smoked the cigar. It was on my mind. Someone came in and they said, I want something high end. I don't want to go as crazy as Atabey or Byron.
Padron not that 60th. Those are.
Yeah. Listen, well, we don't know what that is, but those are great cigars and they're absolutely worth the money. But sometimes people's budget just isn't that high.
For sure.
So for half the price on the box, I put the guy into the exact cigar and I said to him, listen, I smoked this morning. This is exactly what you're looking for. And I thought he was looking for a couple of singles and he goes, I'll take a box. Had I not smoked that cigar that morning, it would have been something different
that
he would have got. But I smoked that morning and man, that just stuck in my mind.
Nice. Okay.
That was Tuesday morning. Wednesday morning.
I've still got my Gunner from the show pack sitting in there that I need to smoke. So I'm looking forward to that.
It's so reminiscent of the millennial version of a brand that may be referred to as white label by some people somewhere. It's so that cigar that it's not even funny.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that. So my first one is one that I did smoke on the show, and it has stuck in my mind, and I've really enjoyed it because it was – I was hesitant to smoke it because I was like, okay, I wasn't the biggest fan of the first go around, but the blackened S84 from Drew Estate, it was so much better than I thought it was going to be.
It is a very decent cigar.
Cutting the triple Maduro with that shade wrapper, I thought really helped that cigar a lot.
Yeah, it's very decent. It's, I think probably because I went into it with such low expectations.
Yeah.
So I need to go in, just clear my mind and be moderate expectations and really give it a fair shake.
Yeah. Well, that was my thing. I kind of went into it with low expectations because, again, the M81 was, it just wasn't my cup of tea, you know, and...
So you're talking about regular blackened, and now you're talking about shade to black.
Precisely.
So shade to black, you really enjoyed.
I did.
And then the regular one was
really
a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, it was just not my thing. It was I kind of felt like it was pretty one note. It was basically just like, here I am, you know, that kind of thing. And
it was very Metallica-esque.
Yes. And then I feel like when they added that shade wrapper, it cut that back a little bit. It added a little bit of... It just kind of pulled it back from too far land, you know?
So it probably most likely, and my experience was the bitterness of that Connecticut shade was tampered by the sweetness of the Maduro. So you didn't get the bitterness on the wrapper.
That's true.
And you also, it was an impeccable burn. They did a great job with the blend.
True.
I still think it's about $2 overpriced, but listen, in this day and age, everything's overpriced.
Exactly.
So to be only $2 overpriced,
that's not so bad.
I'll take it.
Especially
the one exception, McAuliffe Black. I have to say, because I smoke two or three a day.
Yeah.
I have a box sitting around here somewhere in my smoking room here. That is so underpriced, and they're going to hold the price for the whole year at $8.19 for the Toro. It's just ridiculous how low priced it is for how much flavor it has and how strong it is. I smoked the Blue on the show. The Blue is very good for a milder cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly. I still would go to the Black, but for somebody that the Black is too much for, that Blue is going to crush.
Perfect. Perfect. So what's your second one? Or was it the Black?
That was it. That was the Black.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. McAuliffe Black.
Just making sure. So my second one is what is my second one going to be? You know what? My second one, I had this the other day sitting over at Top Shooters, just kind of chilling on the patio, talking with a friend of mine. And I'm going to say that it's Fuerte y Libre, but it's actually like Fortaleza y Libre now that they've changed the name. But mine was an old band. So it was the Fuerte y Libre Sun Country in the Corona. Also a Connecticut Shade wrapper. However, I don't know if you've ever had one of these, but
I've not.
Dude, this is a Connecticut that just kicks you. I mean, it's got some power and strength to it, and I really enjoy it. I'll have to remember to bring some out there in September.
I had a couple of samples from the show, and Dave handed them to me and said, here's 20 cigars. Take a look.
Yeah.
See what appeals to you from the band standpoint, smoke that, and just report back. So I picked, there were two that were standouts, both sun grown. And the bands were really good artwork, good foiling, the details were there, and I smoked the cigars, and they were shit.
Oh, no.
And I went back, and I said, if the price on either of these two is $6, then you made a colossal mistake. They're a good $6 cigar. And he said, that one's $19.
Oh, shit.
And that one's $22. Why are there balloons?
I was going to ask the same thing. You just triggered balloons or something. I don't know. Something with the finger. Mr. Jonathan's got the magic fingers that cause balloons. It's a party.
We got balloons. This is crazy. So anyways, hard pass on both of those. But the
no wonder she's been around for 2 months. You got fingers that cause parties to happen.
I've been told that.
Oh,
anyways, so I smoked the Aganorsa Supreme Leaf in the Rothschild size this
okay.
week. And that was sensational. That was everything you expect from Aganorsa. It had a little bit of the pepper. It had that vanilla sweetness that you expect from their stuff. It was so good all the way to the very, very end. No ammonia, well-aged tobacco, well-worked. The ash was white. That soft box press really does a nice job of sort of slowing the burn down. So I got almost an hour out of that Rothschild. It was sensational.
You're not going to go wrong with an Aganorsa leaf.
You're really not.
No.
They're very, very consistent.
So that doesn't surprise me. Well, that's great. So my last one. Oh, God. Sorry. My last one. I'm trying to make sure the connections are all there. My last one is Christoph Nicaragua. I picked up one of those around here. Fantastic cigar.
So that cigar and the Tres Compadres are the same exact blend.
Okay.
But the primings are shifted.
Okay.
So lower primings on the Tres Compadres, higher primings on the Nicaragua. I love the Nicaragua. Just comparing those two, forget about comparing them to Christoph. I think those are the two best offerings they've had in a very long time.
Yeah.
But that Nicaraguan is so flavorful.
It's good.
Great 6 out of 10. Very good.
Now, I dug that. I had that the other day. And actually, it's funny you mentioned the Tres Compadres, the place that I went. They had both. So I picked up two of the Nicaragua and one of the Tres Compadres. So I still have one of the Nicaragua, so I can sit and side-by-side smoke them if I want to.
And that's actually a professional move right there. I do it so often that I'm smoking two cigars at the same time,
mm-hmm.
because I want to compare and contrast, especially when they're the same brand, you know, the same overall umbrella brand, and see. And in that case where they said the blend is the same, all right, well, I want to know what the differences are in taste. And it really is as simple as you just have more flavor with the Nicaragua.
Okay. Well, now I have to do that. That sounds fun. I'll have to try that. All right. Well, now that we're through that, assuming that all my connections are all good here, let's hear about my monthly cigars. This would normally be the time that I give some information about my monthly cigars, but I've hired that out this week, so take it away.
My Monthly Cigars is a premium cigar subscription service. It comes in a variety of different size boxes at affordable prices. Use offer code PULPIT and get free shipping on your first box and 20% off any items in the online store at mymonthlycigars.com.
That's offer code PULPIT. Thanks! While you're over there, make sure you check out the fucking good coffee, because you don't want to be a fucker. You want to drink fucking good. And sign up for...
Why does that chick sound like she's having an orgasm while she's delivering that? Like, just...
She was very breathy.
Very breathy.
Very breathy. Hey, you know, I mean, she's recording with me, man. What are you going to do? No. That's Pinky.
Yeah, she definitely wasn't recording with you when she recorded that. She was someplace else with some sort of dude with his shirt off and...
Or,
pets that he could juggle.
We do call her husband Javier on the show. So, you know, we got Pinky and Javier. So we'll see. But while you're over there, sign up to get information about the fucking good cigar that should be shipping at some point, and you can find out how you can pre-order that.
Now, I don't watch the show on YouTube. I only listen on iTunes. So how hot is she?
Pinky?
Yeah.
I mean... I know Pinky very well, so I feel very awkward answering that question. She's a very attractive lady.
Seven.
Yeah. I'm not gonna. I mean, she smokes cigars, so you got that going. So you know
that gives her a 2-point bump. So she's a 9 there in the cigar world. That's great.
There you go.
That is great.
So anyway, well, in terms of socials, I'm on Instagram at The Cigar Pulpit. I'm on Facebook for right now with the Pulpit Parishioners group. You can join that. I'll be honest, I don't know what I can and can't do in there right now. But
you could probably post on there. You just can't do live
I can't
streaming
do live
for 30
through.
Days.
Yeah, which I don't. So that's fine. We can skip that. And then Twitter/X and then YouTube where you can watch this. And you can see Mr. Jonathan's beautiful sunroom.
It's true. I'm on the Facebooks as Jonathan Mr. J Barbeau. I'm on Twitter as Mr. Jonathan. I'm on YouTube as Mr. Jonathan. And I also happen to be on another cigar podcast,
I know, right?
Which is number one in the list. The one I'm on right now is number four after none.
Now, in all fairness, I still count it as number three. I did appreciate that. By the way, it's called The Cigar Authority. For anybody that's looking for that podcast. But I did appreciate in one of your emails of the week, the gentleman that said that he started listening to you guys after hearing about it on the number four podcast.
After none. Which was great. He gave the nod, and I had to give him the email.
Mm, it was a good email.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Dave cared for it, but...
He doesn't like much.
Well, the one thing he said he hadn't met any Daves that he liked, and he still hadn't. And I'm like, what's wrong with Dave?
There's nothing wrong with Dave.
I like Dave.
Genuinely, what I appreciate about our listeners and your listeners as well is that they get it. Like the ball busting part of cigar smoking, where you're just hanging out with a bunch of other men or like-minded women. They're not excluded. But mostly you find men, and There's no feelings getting hurt. There's no butt-heartedness. It's just some ball busting.
Exactly.
And it's great.
I mean, you know, I could be butthurt that I came in fourth behind none, but I don't count it that way because I figure if they're not, if none is an option, then I'd bump up to number three. So,
I think you should try to take the number two spot from the assholes.
That would be
funny. You should dethrone Dave as number one and number two and make him number one and number three.
That would be funny. I'm not entirely sure how to pull that off. I mean, let's be real. It's basically the Cigar Authority Jr. just without you.
Yeah, it's light. So if you had Dave on more often, then you could dethrone him with himself.
But see, then he gets to claim the victory there too.
That's the play. I don't think he'll listen to this, so now he'll know, but I don't think he would have done that. I think he would have just given you the nod and said, okay, they're the number two guys. Let's try to beat them.
You know, it's all friendly. That's the other thing. It's all friendly. There's enough hours in the day for everybody to listen to everybody.
When you started your show and you were totally paying homage to us, and I kept hearing Dave talk about it, and I'm finally like, all right, let me listen to it. And it was genuinely funny. It's entertaining.
We tried.
Very good.
Yep. Well, Jonathan, I want to
thank... And out of it, we struck a friendship, and we're on... You know, you're in the middle of the country. I'm out on the East Coast here.
Exactly.
It's all good.
If you ever want a really good steak, you could come out here.
It's true.
And if I want good crab cakes, I can go out there.
Also true.
See?
Is there such thing as a good crab cake?
I don't know. I mean, the one I had at the anniversary party in 22 was fucking amazing. But also, I live in St. Louis, so like our bar is really low.
Yeah, it's low.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting like 5 day old
fish out there. That's why I don't really eat any seafood out here, because it's like I just don't, you know? It's just ugh.
Yeah, seafood's not all that great for you anyways.
Well,
high in mercury.
It all looks like giant bugs. I have a visual problem with it. You know, it all looks like now if crab, because crab, it's when it's in the crab cake, it's mixed in and everything. I'm fine with that. But if you were to put like a crab on a plate in front of me and I have to crack it and do it and everything, I'm not going to do that. It's a giant bug on the plate in front of me. I won't do that. And the whole concept of the soft shell crab to just eat the whole thing. Oh, that just disgusts me. I can't do that.
Yeah, I'm not a huge crab fan anyways, like lobster maybe once a year or every 2 years. I can mess around with it, but really it's just about the butter at that point.
For sure. It's a butter delivery device.
That's all it is. I put butter in my coffee, so I'm getting my butter allotment every day.
Is that part of the lectin diet there? Is butter in the coffee?
It's part of my boosting my calories because I really have a hard time gaining weight. I work out hard. I lift hard and heavy. And it's just not, I can't just put it on like that. So I got to boost the calories somehow.
Because that was my whole thing with the keto diet. Somebody was telling me about that. And I said, I just can't wrap my head around a diet where it's perfectly okay to eat a stick of butter, but an apple is bad for you.
So it's not that the apple's bad for you. The problem is that most people that are overweight are also insulin resistant. So they're in a cycle of having to eat every 2 hours and consume carbohydrates and to boost their blood sugar. So when you go on keto, you have to understand keto is going to be a short-term solution to correct your eating habits so that you consume carbohydrates in a more intelligent way and with purpose, like after a workout. It's okay to have your insulin spike a little bit after a workout.
Okay.
Or just before a workout. But to eat an apple every 2 hours, not good.
Probably not. Okay. Well, this has been the dieting episode of the Cigar Pulpit.
I was trying not to even say the word lectins, but
come on. I have to, you know. I mean, I could have made fun of you about the whole no bun on the kielbasa thing, but I didn't.
There were a couple people in the audience that got some really choice shots.
Dude,
I won't be surprised if they show up.
You needed a knife and fork.
I was not given a knife. I was given
I feel like
a plate with a kielbasa.
I feel like you were sabotaged is what that was.
I was. And that's Chef Charlie. He listens to this show as well.
Well, I mean, so. I like Chef Charlie. I'm just saying
I love him.
I feel like you were sabotaged you, there. Oh God. Well, fun.
Yeah. He's a good dude.
Yeah. No, I look forward to seeing him again. It's been, I mean, shit. He was so nice to me when I was out for your anniversary party in 22.
He's genuinely a nice dude.
He really
is. Anybody that has the level of skill that he has almost has to be humble, because people that aren't humble don't have the actual skills. They're pretending they do.
Yeah.
That dude can cook anything. And anytime I ask him a question about anything culinary, he gives me the straight skinny, lets me know what to do. Here's the temperatures. Here's the thought process. Here's why. This is the food science. He understands it and knows it. So he's genuinely a nice guy because he legitimately has the skills to be called chef.
I want to try his new – I mean, he's got a couple places, but he was talking about the new place on your anniversary show, and I want to go there when I'm out there in September. So –
I want to go as soon as it opens.
Well, yeah, but I don't have that option. That's what, mid-May? True. Late May, I think he said? Sometime
a couple months away.
Coming up soon. So, yeah, that'll be nice. Get one of those jalapeno brisket hot dogs.
My daughter works at one of the restaurants he runs, which is Surf in Nashua.
Okay.
And so I let a couple months go by that she was working there, and I just mentioned to him she's working there, and he goes, "Yeah, I know who she is." And I go, "That's not normal that the executive chef over 6 or 8 restaurants knows one server in one restaurant." And he goes, "She's really good. She's on my radar." And I'm like, "Holy shit." So I told her, I'm like, "Listen, whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because Chef Charlie knows who you are."
Yeah, don't fuck it up.
Yeah, she won't.
No,
she won't. She's a hard worker.
That's great. Well, final thoughts on the Olmec. I mean, I dug it, man. You were dead on with it being very Padron-like. You know, it's
there's so few instances in the cigar world where you can compare yourself to Padron, but
a lot of people do.
Dollar for dollar, they do.
Yeah,
but they're wrong.
Yeah,
but you can go dollar for dollar with that Olmec and go right up a Toro size anyways, right up against Exclusivo, and you're in a similar price point and you're going to have a similar experience. If you like Padron, try an Olmec.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for taking time out. I really appreciate it, man.
My pleasure.
There you go. Well, guys, this has been another sermon from the Cigar Pulpit. I'm Nick.
And I'm Mr. Jonathan from the Cigar Authority.
Everybody stay safe, stay smoky, and stay bonerific. I remembered.
It's also okay to be a dick.
I kind of feel like if you're a dick, you're probably also bonerific at least a couple times a day.
For sure.
I would think.
What's with the pine cone epidemic going on right now? Have you noticed this in the Midwest?
What are you talking about?
We have a metric shit ton of pine cones everywhere.
No, we don't have that around here.
Oh my God, it's brutal.
We're getting ready for our swarm of locusts. So, like, I don't know if you've heard anything about this, but like, locusts, they come out like every however many years, right? And there's different
groups. It's like 12 to 15 years, yeah.
But there's different groups that come out at different times. Well, this year is like the first time in like 200 something freaking years that like all of these swarms are coming out at like one time. And so we're going to be overrun with locusts here in the next like month, maybe less. And I'm convinced that God is smiting the earth between the 5.2 earthquake in New Jersey, the eclipse today, and then now you've got the swarm of locusts. I mean, like, it's getting biblical, man.
It could be.
I'm just saying.
It could be. But I'm really more concerned about the pine cones problem, because I filled up a 55-gallon drum of pine cones, and I could fill it up again. And it's not even warm enough to have fire outside.
I was going to say, can you crush it and make a fire or something?
Yeah, you could just throw a bunch of them in the fire to start the fire, yeah. But then...
I don't know.
You got ember problems with those things floating around.
Oh, that's why I haven't been able to use my fire pit around here. So I obviously have more newspaper than I know what to do with for a starter. And it's just been so damn windy, I can't start a fire.
Well, sure, your newspaper is worth reading. You don't have to use it like a shit rag.
Well, I know, but I have an overprint. I have an overrun, you know. So it turns into nice fire, you know, starter material. And, you know, it tends to blow everywhere if it's windy. So I haven't been able to have my fire pit nearly as much as I've wanted in the spring. And now, you know, I mean, shit, this weekend coming up, we're looking at close to 80 every day. So I kind of feel like we're starting to get on the edge of out of springtime. And, well, I didn't get to use my fire pit as much as I wanted.
Don't worry. It'll still get cold at night.
I know.